Hey, this is Russell, and I work at the video store, the place that we can all go to every week when it's movie night. On days like today, when the store is quiet, I get to watch movies and series and talk about them with my friends that work here. All right, let's do it. Let's open up the shop.
Did you see the thing yesterday on the TV?
Top of the morning, fellas.
Morning, Russell.
Hello, Russell.
How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm lekker, man.
Nice.
It's bloody cold.
It is cold today.
It's very annoying. It's like things aren't consistently cold anymore.
Yeah.
We had a warm week last week. Now we have a cold week again, so you can't get used to it.
Exactly.
Old Greta, eh? She was right.
Right?
In fact.
Old Greta.
She's getting old now, but I mean it more like old Greta.
Old Greta.
Yeah, we're going to look back and be like, hey, should have listened.
Child savant.
No, but I've done 40 of these Joburg winters and I still fuck it up.
Yeah.
When you come to work, you're like, I needed another jacket. Come on. Welcome to the video store. Thank you for wandering in. It's nice to have you. It's nice to see you. We've got lots of cool videos here on our shelves. And today is our Clerks episode. So this is the three of us, chummies, talking over here at the counter about the movies and the series that we've watched over the last week. And we would love you to chime in and also get involved. And yep. There's lots of ways in which you can interact. So just check out the description of the episode. And then later this week, on Thursday, is our guest episode. And that is when an interesting customer of ours pops in to rent something. And we've got Fafa Naragi.
Cool.
Who is a very talented, very amazing, very exciting comedian.
Nice.
Who travels the world, but came to Joburg very briefly, and I jumped at the chance to have him come and visit the video store. So that'll be on Thursday.
Nice.
So every now and again, when we do have a very cool guest episode that we want to share with you, that'll be on Thursday. It's like a nice additional episode.
Yeah.
So Fafa is going to pop in. And I think we must just get straight into it.
Let's do it.
We've got ourselves a little game called Did You Guys See? Which is our quick rapid fire way of catching up with each other and sharing the best news.
Yeah.
And who should start?
Any of us can start. I'll go with the little one first.
Okay.
Hey, did you guys see that Inside Out 2 is now the highest grossing animated film of all time?
I did see that. Mm.
But I disagree.
How exciting.
Oh. It's a fact, but I disagree with it.
No, because I would consider, and I think most people would agree,
yeah,
that The Lion King 2019 is an animated film.
Mm.
Yeah.
It looks photoreal, but it's an animated movie and it made more money than Inside Out.
Oh, interesting.
It doesn't seem to be classified as an animated film for some reason.
Yeah, they called it live action.
Yeah, it's not a live action.
No, there's one live action shot in the entire movie. Everything else is 100% generated.
They animated every blade of grass.
Yes. Oh my God, that makes me hate that movie more. Because then they're like, oh, it's a marketing ploy. Let's call it a live action because it looks real.
Yeah, no, there were no
lions. It's a cinematic sin.
Yeah.
There were no lions on set.
I need to have my Lion King rant sometime. But not today.
How much did that one make?
I think 1.6 billion, 1.65, something like that.
Okay, interesting.
Inside Out is like 1.4.
But still, it's
still
amazing.
Unbelievable amount of money.
In 2024, the world was cucking itself in terms of box office returns and the future of cinema.
Yeah.
Around the world was being held in the balance.
Mm-hmm.
And here comes Inside Out 2, a great, smart, endearing film that just smashes it in the box office.
I'm not yet convinced that it isn't still an outlier in terms of it being like a big success, especially for like animated films. This is what I kind of wanted to get on. There was a point where we were talking about box office all the time and I never managed to get on to. That's, for one thing, I thought Inside Out 2 wasn't going to do well, to be honest. Not because I thought it was going to be bad, but because... So studios have trained us, essentially, as audiences of when to expect stuff out of cinemas, right? Stuff goes to streaming really, really quickly these days, so people just skip the cinema part and just wait for it on streaming.
Mm.
And I think for that culture to change, it would take all of the studios or even one big studio to be like, this isn't going to be on streaming. None of our movies are going to be on streaming for like a year.
Yes.
So if you want to see it now, you have to see it in cinemas. I actually started looking into this, and I was looking at the release dates of VHSs back in the VHS days. And like Jurassic Park came out in, I think, June of 1993.
Yeah.
And it came out on VHS in October of 1994.
Okay.
It's a whole
so that's
year.
The kind of, and they all worked like that. They were like at least a year before you could like see it in your house.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think if studios wanted to like change this culture of, which I don't necessarily think they need to be honest. I think the whole like audience's relationship and everything with cinemas and everything is changing, and I get that.
Yeah.
But like, and I don't think a studio would ever do that at this point in time. Like streaming services are too lucrative and.
Yeah.
But
especially
yeah.
when it's your own. So something like. Disney
yes.
is obviously making content for their
the
channel,
Plus,
ultimately
yeah.
where it'll live on. But I will never forget hearing from someone a reminder as to why studios still love cinemas, because it is the quickest way to make your money back.
Yeah,
that is arguably the whole reason why it still exists. Yes. Yeah, there's the glory of, you know, shared experience and, you know, all getting together in a room and we can romanticize it.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, cinemas exist for studios to make back their whole budget in
yeah.
a weekend.
Yeah.
Well, they have the ability to do that.
Yeah.
No other thing can really do that in the same way.
Mm. Counterpoint, though, as an alternative to that, there was that, I think it was last year, that Five Nights at Freddy's movie came out. But that movie made its entire production budget back before it even hit cinemas by selling the streaming rights. I can't remember who the streaming rights ran to, but they were like, whatever it does in the cinema is just like a bonus, essentially.
Oh, interesting.
Because we've made all our money back already by selling the streaming rights.
Interesting.
That's a smart move. But what do you think Pixar are going to do now that their sequels has done so well?
I've said it before.
As opposed to Luca, Turning Red.
Exactly.
Soul.
Yeah. I think I've said this before and I'll say it again. Studios always learn the wrong lesson.
Yeah.
What they're going to learn from this is that sequels make money. The fact that and Despicable Me 4 are both doing really well. We're just going to be seeing animated sequels from big studios now.
Yeah.
Sure.
On the notes of studios and learning the wrong lessons,
yes.
Did you guys see that Furiosa was a box office failure? We kind of know this. It made $150 million.
Yeah.
But the return of Xander Cage, Triple X, made twice what Furiosa made.
Really?
Yes.
That's depressing.
How depressing is that?
What? The return of?
Xander Cage, Triple X.
Triple X 3.
When did that come out?
A few years ago.
No, it was like start of this year, wasn't it?
No, it was ages ago, dude.
No, was it ages ago?
It was ages ago.
Okay. My brain
we can look
is
it
not
up.
Working in anymore
but
in terms of
time. But it definitely wasn't this year.
But yeah, so studios are going to continue throwing money at Vin Diesel.
Sure. Yeah. No, but I mean... This is
but then we get really good action like Furiosa, like really interesting action filmmaking that's different from everything we see.
Sure.
And we're not going to get a sequel.
Do you want to know what year it was?
No, don't joke.
It was 2017.
This is how my brain works in terms of time. Terrible.
So maybe your point isn't as valid. No, it's... The thing with Furiosa, which we have to remember, is that it's lacquer weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's arty.
And it's
arty
a sequel.
Weirdness.
But then at the same time, Deadpool and Wolverine starts off by referencing the Mad Max series.
Yes.
You know, so it's very much ingrained in popular culture.
No, there's no question of that. But it's weird.
Yeah,
it's
also we forget Fury Road didn't do that well either.
Yeah.
It wasn't a huge hit. It was very well critically received, just like Furiosa was.
Mm.
But Furio didn't make a ton of money.
Mm.
It was like $400 million.
Yeah.
Off of like a $250 million budget.
Shit.
So did you guys see?
I have another one.
Yeah, let's
see. I could be more serious. Sorry. Did you guys see the Olympics opening ceremony this weekend?
I saw clips.
Yeah, I didn't watch it live.
Celine Dion made her comeback. And that's all we should talk about this morning for 2 hours.
It's lovely. Because we mentioned on the show a few episodes ago about the documentary, hey, which is on?
Netflix, isn't it?
No, it's on Prime.
Oh, yes, it is Prime. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And what is it called again?
I Am Celine?
Yeah.
Something like
or
that.
Me. It's like a lame, pithy title like that.
But it's I guess if you search Celine Dion on Amazon Prime, you'll get to it.
Yeah.
And we spoke about how incredible it is. Here's arguably the best and the greatest voice of certainly our generation, perhaps history of music. And she suffers from a degenerative disease? What is it?
Neurological disorder called stiff person syndrome.
Yeah, and so she is just unable to use her voice often. She could go into these seizures, but here she is at the Olympics singing, which is glorious.
Yeah, she basically had to relearn how to sing at the age of 50.
Interesting.
Because her muscles had changed. Right?
Yeah, so that is special.
And she sang Edith Piaf, which is a big deal in terms of having an old school legendary belter voice. And then in France, or for the global stage, sure, you are recreating this, right? Performance and this song and doing your own version of it. And it was so huge.
Yes.
It was powerful and amazing.
Lovely. The other part of the Olympics, which people seem to be upset about, was the drag queens. What was that?
So it was an image of a man in blue, kind of like Paul Giamatti in that movie, with orange hair, beard.
This is the second time you've brought that movie up this week.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I don't know why it was on my feeds again. But he's on basically a platter with a whole bunch of fruit and stuff around him. Right. And behind him is a whole bunch of drag queens. And Americans looked at this and went, "They're making fun of the Last Supper." And it was actually the Party of Dionysus.
Yes.
But the song is really fucking bad. Like, if you listen to the lyrics that he's singing, the tune is not great. I mean, it might be something cool culturally in France. Sorry. I don't know what I'm talking about. You can throw an egg in my face, whatever. But it's like him going, "Isn't it fun to be naked? Ha ha." Like, that's what? It. Like, and the Americans are just like, this is the Last Supper.
Was it part of the opening ceremony? So
yes.
At one point there was Celine Dion, then we saw more boats, and then it cut to this.
So the whole idea is that basically the ceremony is not in a stadium like it's always been.
Yes. Yeah,
they take you along the Seine to a whole bunch of French cultural landmarks.
Right.
And then within each of those, a different story is told. So like there was a staircase. Lady Gaga was on that staircase. Oh. Then they go to a castle where they decapitated people. And then there's a metal band called Gojira.
Like they were they were a very famous French metal band.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then
I love how they called themselves Gojira.
Not Gojira.
Yeah.
Instead of Godzilla. That's funny. Yeah.
It's hilarious. But basically it was directed by this French theater director. Right. And he was trying to take you on this journey along the Seine, like through all of the different aspects of French culture.
Right? So we had to tick LGBTQ plus inclusivity.
Yes.
So we had to include that in some way because it's 2024. It's what we do. I'm not criticizing it. It's just a given.
Well, it's like the thing that's always been a part of culture, right? We're just referencing it back to Dionysus, famously celibate Greek god. that was like, I mean, I'm being facetious. He was a sex demon that drank wine and fucked everything.
Really?
So, yeah, that's Dionysus.
I mean, that's also kind of all the Greek gods.
Yeah, no, they're terrible.
hands down, my favorite thing on the internet, one of my favorite things on the internet was an SNL sketch around the time that Greece was getting that bailout in the EU. Because as an economy, they were like almost crumpled.
Yeah.
And it was a meeting of all the Greek gods up on Mount, Etna or wherever the Greek gods met. And they were doing like a roll call. And of course, there's the god, the god of thunder, the god of war, the god of love. And everyone was like, "Do we not have a god of money? Do we not have a god of finance? Like, this is why we're so fucked." I thought that was funny. Hey, did you guys see there is a movie called Piece by Piece coming out?
Okay.
Later this year, which is the biopic of Pharrell Williams, the musician.
Right.
Done in Lego.
What?
It's a Lego movie, effectively.
Wow.
So it's like the story of his life. He was in NERD.
Yeah.
He produced all this amazing music, but the whole movie is done in Lego.
Right. Like literally like stop motion Lego.
Like it is a Lego movie.
Right.
So it's interesting because, I mean, it's not like he's Snoop Dogg and had this crazy former life and is now on cooking shows. But he, certainly wasn't always family friendly.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting that they've now, just the decision to make it Lego is really interesting.
Interesting.
And the moment it's a Lego movie, you've now got to consider families.
Yeah.
But it's like him in the studio, him making music.
Fascinating.
Weird, hey?
Yeah.
So I'm curious.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm curious. It'll be later this year.
Wow.
All right.
Okay, hey, did you guys see, and I know you did because we were talking about it in our group, that Robert Downey Jr. is back in the MCU as Doctor Doom.
Okay. We've just had the big Geek Fest, which is San Diego Comic-Con.
Yes.
And the big guys, Marvel, everyone, will use this, like many festivals and platforms, to make big announcements.
Yeah.
What's wrong, Cole?
No, I was not going to interrupt you with this. Karen talking. I'll come back to it.
Okay, I thought that was directed at me.
No. I thought about something to do with San Diego Comic-Con that's not relevant to this conversation.
Okay, cool. We'll cut this out. Around.
And, so, one of the big announcements was this, which he's saying, which is in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they build these big storylines. We all witnessed the big one being the Infinity Gauntlet with Thanos being the main bad guy, and they can use a couple of movies and chances to make lots of money.
Yeah.
Around these big storylines. They had one in the works, which was centered around an individual.
Kang.
Yeah, Kang Dynasty.
Yeah.
And the guy who played him,
Jonathan Majors,
was a bit of a creep and a bad guy in real life.
Yes.
Yeah, he beat up his girlfriend.
Not just in the movies, he was a bad guy in real life and had this entire tentpole plan crumble around him. And so now they had to come up with a new plan, and they've just announced it.
Yeah, it's the most overt course correct I think we've ever seen.
Yes.
It's huge, and it's amazing that one dude and what he does after hours could just determine the lives, the planning, the money, the economy of thousands of people.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's one dude who just can't keep his shit together.
Yep.
Yeah, it's nice.
And is just like not a nice person.
It is so wild because they'd already released Loki season 2.
Yeah, 1 and 2.
Yeah, it was Kang in 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And then Ant-Man Quantumania had a big tease towards Kang Dynasty at the end, which was terrible.
Yes.
But then
the whole movie was terrible.
Yeah, but that specific like Rick Sanchez society thing that happened at the end was terrible. And then they announce the films, you know Kang's coming, everyone's researching Kang, and then it's just, it all falls apart.
Yeah.
And so who's Dr. Doom? Because you can explain this to me because I know fuck all.
I don't know much about Marvel, but he's traditionally a Fantastic Four villain.
Okay.
He is basically evil Iron Man.
I was about to say, because isn't it weird that it is him?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not.
Are we just gonna ignore the fact that he looks like Iron Man?
I think.
What's the plan?
No, because
either they're never gonna show his face.
Yeah,
because he wears a mask in the comics and stuff. He always has a mask on.
Okay.
So either they're never gonna show his face, or they're doing a multiverse thing where he's a Tony variant.
So I think it was Joe Russo. I can't tell them apart. Anthony or Joe said that the beauty of the multiverse or the multi-universe system or like thing is that we have only one person, the greatest actor in the world, who can play Victor Von Doom.
Oh, right.
That's what he said. And what they're saying is that in an alternate reality, I think, Tony Stark Iron Man becomes Victor Von Doom somehow.
Okay, right. So I want to put it on record. This was my idea.
Really?
I had this idea years ago.
No ways.
Of doing a variant of Tony Stark. I think they may have done it in the comic books at some point.
Yeah.
But my idea, and if they do this, Kevin, I want to check. My idea was to open the movie exactly the same way Iron Man opens.
Yes.
That opening scene of Iron Man where they're driving through, like, and he's like, no gang signs, hey, you're a woman, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
Recreate that scene exactly up until the point where the attack happens and there's a shot where you see like this little like missile thing come in and goes boink and it sticks in the ground and says Stark on it.
Yes.
And then it explodes and that's kind of like what knocks him out and everything. In this version, the thing comes along and goes boink and it says Stark and nothing happens. It doesn't explode.
It
fails. And he's like, what the fuck? And then at like the last second, he gets rescued there. But then what happens there is that puts him on this trajectory of, it's not, oh, my weapons were sold to terrorists. It was my weapons were sold to terrorists and they didn't work.
Right.
Stark weapons don't work. I need to make my weapons better.
Yes.
And then we get this, who's already a terrible person. Tony Stark is awful in the first Iron Man.
He's terrible.
And he just doubles down and becomes worse and worse and worse and ultimately becomes Doctor Doom.
That's cool.
So if they do that...
You've already called that Kevin, it was going to be Tony Stark as Doctor Doom.
My idea.
It's time stamped when this episode comes out.
Damn straight.
Did you guys see the casting for the Fantastic Four?
Yes, they announced that a little while
ago. Yeah,
but
they released a cast photo. Yes. It is very exciting, dude. Yeah. It is very exciting.
It's Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, as Mr. Fantastic.
Yes, Reed Richards.
Reed Richards, thank you. And then Flame On Human Torch.
Yes.
Is the Stranger Things metal guy.
Yeah.
Who was in A Quiet Place Day One.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
We love him.
He's great.
Mm-hmm. And then if you watch The Bear, his cousin is The Thing.
Yes.
It would be great if we knew their names.
I don't know their names.
And then Vanessa Mission Impossible.
The Thing is the big rock guy.
Yeah.
But he's quite a scrawny guy in The Bear.
It's fine. He becomes a big guy. He's not going to be wearing a suit like in the
No. He's going to be
Fantastic Four. He's going to be CGI.
100%. Yeah.
And then Vanessa Kirby. Is that her name?
Vanessa Kirby. That's right.
Yes. She's... What's
Sue Storm.
Thank you, Graham.
Invisible Woman.
Yeah.
What is she? Who's she?
Sue Storm, Invisible Woman. Jessica Alba.
Yeah, no, but who's the woman who's playing her?
Did you watch The Crown?
No.
Oh, did you watch
She's
Mission
in the
Impossible?
Last couple of Mission Impossible movies. She's the blonde woman in the last couple of Mission Impossible.
Who was she in The Crown?
She was Elizabeth's sister.
Okay, no, that means nothing. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Her.
Oh, she was in the yeah. She's in the Mission Impossible movies.
Yes,
yeah.
And Hobbs vs Shaw. She was she's Statham's sister.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, and she's of course she's in Napoleon. She's
Napoleon, Mrs. Napoleon.
what the hell's her name?
History is not great on this podcast, guys. Sorry,
we're not in the history section.
No.
Okay, cool. All right, next one. You did that one. Okay, self-punting here. Did you guys see that we are going to do an eat-along at the Bioscope on the 15th of August for My Neighbor Totoro?
Oh, cool.
An eat-along.
Yeah, I want to talk about it. Sorry.
What's an eat-along?
Shameless self-promotion. But there is something happening in cinemas in South Africa called the Anime Festival.
Yeah.
It kicks off in the early parts of August with the first one being My Neighbor Totoro, which is very famous anime done in the late 80s, and the Bioscope will screen it, but we are going to do things a little differently. We're going to have one or two editions that are going to be different. So we're going to do a dumpling box edition, which is what we kind of normally do here, where your ticket can include a portion of dumplings. But there is a woman who I've come to know called Jessica Yun, who has made a book called The Unofficial Studio Ghibli Cookbook.
Oh, yes.
She just happens to be in South Africa, but she could be anywhere in the world.
Wow.
This book's been published across the world.
Yes.
She sold like thousands of copies in the US. She just happens to be South African, who is a woman who loves cooking. She's got a great Instagram account, and she's made this book inspired by the movies of Studio Ghibli with these recipes.
Yes, because we've actually pointed out in these movies that in a lot of Ghibli films, the food looks like incredible.
It always
somehow they make
amazing.
It look unbelievable.
Yeah. And so she put up a hand to say, can we do an eat-along?
Cool.
So on the 15th, we're doing it where it's only going to be limited to 30 people, so that's less than what the cinema holds. And throughout the movie, you are going to get certain food at certain time.
Oh, wow.
So it's one of the more expensive tickets we've ever had. The Bioscope likes to keep these tickets a little cheaper, but I think some of these eat-alongs, because they happen in cinemas around the world, they can be upwards of R1,000, but
yes,
ours is a little cheaper. It's R620, and that's for this movie, plus there's like three dishes, four dishes that you get throughout the movie.
It's like a movie and a multi-course meal.
Yeah, I'm so excited to do it.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. So it was.
How are you going to? Are you going to pause the film when the dishes are brought out?
No, I think we'll just be swift.
Okay,
is the plan.
I suppose that's why you limit it to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to
start with just 30.
Okay.
As opposed to 47.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
It's exciting.
That's very cool. I'm going to get a ticket to that. I want to experience these variants
and
some
of the
experiences.
It's expert. It's this expert chef that's planned this expert meal.
That's cool.
All the details are on our website.
Nice.
All right, next one.
I don't know if there's a next one.
I don't have a next one.
I have a next one.
Awesome.
There is a show that has just dropped on Netflix called Dirty Pop.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Dirty Pop.
It's about the guy who put together bands like NSYNC.
And the Backstreet Boys.
And the Backstreet Boys.
I didn't know that
Boys.
Was one person, but it makes perfect sense.
Yes.
And it's the controversy around him as a person.
Okay.
Yes.
I haven't had a chance to watch it. But why I'm bringing it up is someone who has been on our show, a loyal customer of the video store,
yeah.
Andrew Orkin,
yes.
who is a score composer, did the music for this show.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Go, Andrew.
Yeah. So it was earlier
That's
this
a big
year.
Gig.
Yeah. Earlier this year, Andrew Orkin popped into the video store. He's yes. an old friend of ours. He lives in New York and he scores for movies and TV shows.
Cool.
And obviously, something he couldn't talk about at the time was yes. this big Netflix show, which is like number one around the world.
Wild.
So when you watch it, consider the score, consider yes. the music that you're hearing. And that is one of our friends,
nice.
Andrew. So shout out to him.
Shout out, Andrew.
Let's get into the movies.
Yes.
Let's get into Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah.
Very cool event, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
We got invited to the Disney premiere of it.
Mm.
And generally, these screenings that we go to are quite small affairs. They might be at the offices of this distribution company, or maybe it's just, you know, get into Cinema 3 and
yes.
grab a Coke.
It's
and
like
a
very discreet. There's no fanfare.
Because they're usually media events,
yeah.
so it's usually just us and a bunch of folks we've come to recognize and get to know, which yeah. is lots
and
of fun.
And Colette.
Yeah, good old Colette. But this is big. This
yeah.
is Disney pulling out all the stops. We saw it earlier this year with Inside Out 2, where they took over the Monte Cassino cinema complex.
Right.
But now we went to this big, fancy Deadpool and Wolverine event at Eastgate,
yeah.
which was very well done. And they took over most of the cinemas in the complex. And we went into one of them and we watched this movie.
Yeah.
What did we think?
Can I go first?
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Okay, cool. So I think that it was incredibly entertaining.
Yes.
Especially if you've been a fan of superhero movies. I found my X-Men VHS tape.
Jeez, like.
That I remember going into Look and Listen to buy with my dad when I was 9. So if you've been that guy that's been watching films since then, especially because quite a few characters from that movie are referenced in this movie,
yeah.
this feels like it definitely is a send-off to Fox and this
yes.
era of X-Men films, which is bittersweet and lovely. Mm. And obviously because it's Deadpool, it's tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
And I think that's a second watch. On a second watch, if you know all the cameos that are coming, it's littered with cameos. If
yeah.
you know that those cameos are going to be there, I think the engagement with that movie is going to drop through the floor.
Plummet, yes.
Because the action got progressively worse. Like if you see Deadpool and Wolverine in one fight,
yes.
you've seen them fight. And then they do it like 3 times in that movie. They
yeah.
have a fight.
And it feels a little silly when they do fight, because here are two people
who cannot
that
die.
Cannot die
yes.
that will regenerate immediately.
Yeah.
So fighting is a little fucking stupid.
Yes.
Yeah.
But anyways.
So dramatically it's neutered.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You've raised a point, which is it has you realize just how long this whole journey has been.
Yeah.
Deadpool is part of the X-Men world, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So when all the bigwigs in Hollywood a long time ago got together and said, let's make a superhero movie. Mm. Their thought was to start with the X-Men.
Yeah.
Because that seemed like the more obvious one. I think
yes.
it's worth mentioning that a character like Iron Man
yeah.
was not a popular, famous person.
No.
None of us were keen on him.
At all.
Kids.
Like, they weren't considered. They were very small sideline characters.
The whole of the MCU is kind of miraculous in that way. In the sense that they made a universe based on characters that no one cared about.
Yeah.
Because what they've done, Marvel has gone bankrupt, almost gone bankrupt multiple times over the years. So what they have done is, or had done at least, they have most of them back now, is sell the rights to most of their characters to different movie studios.
Because they were just a comic book company. They weren't
yes.
they weren't making their own
yes.
movies.
Yes.
And so their characters and their stories were being compromised
yeah.
when they sold them off and sent them off to other people
exactly.
to look after. Why Iron Man did so well is it was one of the properties no one ever probably wanted to buy.
Yes.
And they were like, we now have enough money to make this movie ourselves.
Yeah.
Let's make it fucking awesome.
Exactly.
Because it's ours and we get to tell it ourselves. And that's why it did so well.
Yeah. And they were literally left with the characters that no one else wanted.
Interesting.
Captain
yeah.
America. Like, we think of them now. Iron Man is hugely popular. Captain America is hugely popular. Thor. No one gave a shit about these characters
yeah.
at
so,
that point in time.
So everyone was thinking about X-Men.
I mean, this
X-Men,
is why Sony,
Spider-Man, Fantastic Four.
Sony had the rights to Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, yeah.
And Fantastic Four was?
Also Fox.
Fox. X-Men was Fox,
yeah.
right? And
Daredevil
then wasn't
was
it
Fox.
Wasn't it Blade that actually rescued Marvel when they were about to go bankrupt and Blade made enough money at the box office for them to like not sell.
Possibly.
I read that this weekend.
Yeah.
It was like wild.
Yeah. Well, those things are very interesting.
Yes.
And so Deadpool did exist somewhat. So in one of the early X-Men movies, there was a brief cut to a character that if you blinked and missed, you wouldn't know. But that was Deadpool.
Well, Deadpool is
sort of shows up in one of them.
Deadpool's in the X-Men, what's called X-Men Origins, the origins of Wolverine, or Wolverine's origin story in X-Men movie.
Directed by South African Neil Blomkamp.
No.
Gavin Hood.
That was a test and you passed. Well done, guys.
The guy who made Tootsie and won an Oscar went on and into Hollywood and one of the second or the third movies he made was this big Wolverine.
Which had Ryan Reynolds in it as Deadpool.
And the only other person to play Wolverine.
Really?
Troy Sivan.
What?
Troy Sivan, the gay pop star.
Yeah.
Is he like young Wolverine?
He's young Wolverine in the movie.
Nice.
Okay.
Spud.
Okay,
I forgot that they cut to a young Wolverine.
Yeah, so there's
and I forgot that it was him.
Yeah, wild, so right?
Wild. But yeah, it's only ever been Hugh Jackman being Wolverine. Okay, and so then we had Deadpool sort of, but not be Deadpool. He was just this kind of muted, weird...
Well, at first he was just Ryan Reynolds. And then he goes away from the movie, and then he comes back in the third act, and they've like experimented on him. And they've the character that's known as the Merc with the Mouth, they've sewn his mouth shut. So he can't speak.
Yeah.
And he has like swords in his arms, like Wolverine's swords.
Like, it's like one of the reasons why it's a terrible movie.
One of
people
the
watch
many
it.
Reasons it's
because
a bad
it's
movie.
Like he's basically Deadpool in the beginning without the.
Yes, without the mask.
Yeah, and without all the problems that make him regenerate and everything. Yeah. So he's a badass mercenary that shit talks everybody. And it was really funny. Mm. I remember that when I first saw it. And you were like, oh, I didn't know who this character was. This is hilarious.
Yeah.
But only in the end are they like, this is Deadpool.
Yes.
This is our gross Frankenstein experiment. And it's fucking lame.
Yes.
So, okay. So this movie came out. It wasn't very well received, unfortunately.
No.
But Ryan Reynolds got this taste of being this character.
Yes.
He then took it upon himself to try and make a Deadpool movie. Yes. And of course, it was very famously like not... done or it wasn't going to happen, right? What was
so,
the story?
Tim Miller was the director of the first one. He's the guy...
The first Deadpool.
Yes, of the first Deadpool movie. He's the guy who runs... what's that studio called? Blur. Right. Blur Studios. They do like all CGI stuff. They do tons of game trailers. They're the guys who did Love, Death and Robots.
Oh, cool.
So Tim Miller is like the producer of that. And Blur made a kind of test thing, which was all CGI. And it was basically the same as the scene. There's like a scene on a highway where he like kills a bunch of dudes in a car in the first Deadpool.
Mm.
So they created like a test of this. And then what they did is it got leaked.
And Graham is putting his fingers
in
inverted commas.
I'm doing air quotes of it got leaked. So in other words, they leaked it and it got this huge positive response.
Yeah.
Because Fox were like, no, we're not going to do this. So they leaked it. Everyone on the internet went crazy for it. And Fox was like, oh, okay, people actually want this. And that's what got the first Deadpool made.
Yeah. And I could see why people love Deadpool, because he makes fun of the idea of being a superhero. And it's this kind of cheeky sort of anti-hero. And you could see that personality come out even at Eastgate with the people who have dressed up like Deadpool, because you get to kind of make fun of other comic book characters and heroes, and you this weird sort of cheeky little character. And just to touch on what Cole said, this kind of being coming to the end of it, you know, the end of this kind of superhero.
Yeah.
I walked out of that movie going, I don't know how you could ever make a legitimate superhero movie again, because he has kind of desecrated the seriousness of superheroes.
Right.
And it was needed because we got to however many movies, 20 odd fucking Marvel movies that built up to this huge climax, which created the Avengers Endgame and Infinity War, which were the biggest movies sort of ever made. Mm. And then post that, you're like, what the fuck do you do?
Yeah.
And you still keep this kind of serious tone that you needed then a Deadpool to come along and kind of make fun of it all.
Yeah.
Break not even the fourth wall. I'm going to make an argument that there's such a thing as like a fifth wall, which he broke, which I'm going to give you my theory on now. But, I mean, it's silly, and it kind of shits on everything that they've done. So it's amazing that Disney signed that check to, you know, both literally and figuratively, to make this movie that makes fun of everything they've fucking done before. And I don't quite know how you make a serious comic book movie after this.
Yeah.
Right? No, it's very interesting. I think that's what it is, as well as that the seriousness, maybe like with Ant-Man, Quantumania, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
Like this, maybe continuing the Endgame Infinity War tone.
Yes.
Kind of isn't working as a storytelling strategy.
Right.
And they've kind of been scrambling. I remember that Kevin Feige took everyone to like Hawaii or something for a big writer's workshop.
Yes.
To like completely just rejig. Because they were panicking, right? Yeah. They were losing money. They weren't making any money at the box office. And then to try and figure out a way of like containing the narrative around everyone saying that Marvel movies are now shit. Like it's a brand damaging thing that's spreading around the internet, right? Yes. It's like continuously bad movies are releasing. So they need to like co-opt or like contain that.
Yes.
By doing that self-referential, like jibing and making fun of themselves.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of noteworthy that they're not really making fun of the MCU in this movie.
Oh, they're not.
They're making fun of Fox.
They're making fun of the Fox films.
Like, they don't mock, like, there's no characters from the MCU in this movie.
Aside from Ant-Man, maybe.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, there's but like sort of.
Yes.
Yeah,
very it references sort of. Ant-Man in that you see his suit. But for the most part, in terms of, like, what they're making fun of, it's all the X-Men movies and all these cameos and everything are all from the Fox universe.
Yeah.
They're not from the MCU.
Yeah, and he calls himself Marvel Genius. Marvel Jesus.
Yes.
So it's like he's coming in to save. And this is what I'm talking about. It's like, so probably since the early days of theater, people have been aware of the audience.
Yes.
Yes.
And so the term is you've broken the fourth wall, where in movie or in theories, or movie or in theater, you look to the audience and you acknowledge that they exist.
Yes.
And Deadpool was the first to do that, where he sort of stares in the camera. Not the first, sorry.
Yeah, but I mean, Hulk did it first.
Sure, but I'm just saying, like, it was Deadpool did it.
Yes.
Where he looked at the camera and spoke about being in a movie, and I'm in a movie, and, and it's all
He's kooky. A comic book character who knows he's a comic book character. That's the whole thing.
Which is one sort of level of disbelief, right? And we can get behind that. This broke an even bigger wall, which is who they are in real life. There was references to Hugh.
Yeah.
He spoke about his wife in real life. There was a joke about Blake.
Yes.
Yeah.
Blake Lively.
Yeah, I remember Deadpool makes a joke. He directs a joke about Wolverine where he's like something like he hasn't been the same since the divorce. And Hugh Jackman very recently got divorced.
It's wild.
Yeah.
And I mean, and he speaks of himself as Marvel and speaks of Marvel and Fox and, you know, the yeah, there's a cut to a scene with the 20th Century Fox logo.
Yes.
And like, it's like dead in the sand because no one's interested anymore.
It's a real stretch of narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just point out, this is something that was bugging me during the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's constantly making these like fourth wall breaking referential jokes. No one ever says to him, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Because no one
in the context of that world would know what he's talking about. No one ever goes, what are you doing? What are you saying?
Who are you talking to?
Yes.
Yeah.
It just bugged me that no one like acknowledges the things that he says. Yeah.
So personally, I found that stuff a bit stupid,
and
I think it was a cheap joke, and it's just aware of it.
It's not, like his style of meta humor is not something that you vibe with.
I guess it's refreshing, and as you said, it's consequential, right?
Yeah.
What was the one thing that everyone always said about Joe Biden? He was the most consequential president. They used that word as a buzzword.
Oh, okay.
Which I thought was a very interesting term to describe him. He's what happens when this happens.
Okay. Yeah, but this is like, this film does feel like a course correct or like telegraphing where Marvel's going.
Right.
Yeah.
In terms of X-Men and the properties that they're maybe reminding people of.
Yeah.
But I felt a little old
watching
it, but at least appreciated that I wasn't being handed another comic book
absolutely.
Superhero movie that took itself so seriously, and there's a bad guy who wants to end the world, and we're going to stop him.
Yes.
Yeah, like, so I think my crit with this movie, I suppose my sentiment is that, one, it's the funniest superhero movie I've ever seen.
Right.
Like, I laughed nonstop throughout that entire movie. This is a dumb thing to say. I don't know how funny it's going to be when I watch it again.
Exactly. Yes.
Like when I get all the references, when I see like all the like payoffs that I've waited 25 years to be paid off on. Like, is it still going to be fun to watch?
Yes.
That's my question.
What we can say is that in this there is a sense of multiverse, which I think people can gather from the trailer. Mm-hmm. He finds himself in a wasteland, yes. which I think you can also get from the trailer. And in this is the ability to play with other characters.
Yeah.
Other right. characters of the superhero Marvel world mm. that might have been forgotten or kind of banished.
Yes.
In a similar way.
Yeah.
Much it's, like if the sequel never happened, or if this didn't happen, or yeah. if this was always something that was meant to happen, here's a joke to say this is where this character has ended up in yes. this kind of banished yes. multiverse wasteland.
It's surprisingly dependent on season one of Loki.
Didn't see that coming.
I wish
I'd paid like more
that whole,
attention.
That whole void is a big part of season. The way yeah. they wind up is a big part of season one.
But there was a great moment which was very aware of its form, which is that best enjoyed in a big cinema with yeah. lots of people that know what's going on.
Yes.
There was great reveals of characters. Mm. Of these characters we all know.
Yeah.
We might remember or have never seen and wished we saw.
Yes.
And it was very much playing into the hands of a big gasping cinema audience.
Yeah,
100%.
And so it was very cool to be in a big cinema yeah. watching that.
Yes.
Because and also, so, like, if you don't get the reference, you hear everyone else in the cinema going,
yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to, like, make you aware of the thing.
And there was a really cool chance to play sort of firmly into the hands of that. Mm. And so on that note, that was successful.
I mean, look, if you are a fan of the previous Deadpool films, you're going to like this. You already know you're going to watch it. Criticism of it is irrelevant.
Yeah,
right.
Like everyone, I mean, it made like $400 million on its opening weekend. So yeah. there's an audience for this.
No, sure.
But it's the highest grossing R-rated movie of all time on its opening weekend.
Okay. Yeah. The first Deadpool.
No, this.
This one now. Yeah, so it's beat its own record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. No, what I think is the most interesting thing is how we are entering into a new cusp of superhero storytelling.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, these are the biggest movies of our kind of current generation. Mm. And so it's worth talking about how they've evolved. And so we've spoken about it.
It's going to be interesting to see, like, with the end of Fox and the end of this era that, like, pretty much started the superhero,
yes.
like, modern superhero era, how it's going to continue. Mm. Like, we need to bookmark this moment and be like, next, we've got Marvel's attempt to do this next phase,
yes.
right, with the Fantastic Four finally,
yeah.
and that's the second time it's been attempted cinematically.
Yeah.
Well, like yeah. I'm not thinking of like 70s
yeah,
and all
the
those.
Foreman one.
Yeah, 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 those ones. But then also like James Gunn's coming with his DC yeah. universe, another reboot, yeah. right? Yeah.
And could it ever be the same is the question. Like,
exactly.
You know, I'll never forget.
Is this going to be like Westerns and Cowboys? Is it done?
Yes.
Yeah. And you know? And these things come into favor and they come out of favor. Mm. And also like once you've seen something, it's quite hard to unsee it and yeah. not sort of treat it in the same way. And if a character has come on this huge level and kind of desecrated it in a fun way, like could anyone sort of do it seriously
yes.
again, or will it all be in this kind of tongue-in-cheek
yeah
right.
mode, which is interesting.
You know, we should explain what this movie's about. We haven't back of the box this thing.
Yeah, and that's why I did mention like a little bit towards it, but
yes.
it is a play on multi, well, it's not a play, it's another multiverse thing.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't want to give too much away, but give it a go.
So what I think what we can say is Deadpool learns that his universe is dying and he's now trying to save it.
Yeah.
That's essentially, so the TVA from the Loki series pulls him out of his timeline.
Yes.
Says, hey, your universe is dying. We're going to, I don't know why they, I don't, do they ever explain
they
why
do.
They pulled
they
Deadpool
say
out?
That it's Anchor Hero.
No, no, no. Why no. have they rescued Deadpool?
And I was thinking,
oh, no, why is Deadpool the hero that they've saved?
Yes.
Well, no, they it's very passing, but it's not smart.
Oh.
They don't make that clear.
Okay.
But there was one little comment which was like, we thought you were worth saving.
Okay.
Because you could join, you know, you could
the
join
golden timeline.
A golden timeline, the main force, you could be an Avenger, you could be all these things you want to be.
In other words, we're gonna pull you out of the Marvel universe and put you in the MCU.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's kind of what that's
out of
about.
The
Fox Universe.
Fox Universe. Sorry, we're going to pull you out of the Fox Universe, yeah, and put you in the MCU.
But he
which
says
is essentially what the movie's saying is, this universe is dying, is basically saying the Fox movies are dying.
Yeah.
They're dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of Logan.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that's another thing. I think you need to have seen Deadpool 1 and 2. You need to have seen Logan, and you need to have seen Loki season 1 if you want like a
if you don't want to be confused.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lekker. Should we move on?
Do we want to do spoilers? Like a spoiler thing?
Do we, like, actually we're here in this conversation. So
let's not split this conversation up. I think let's do that now. Okay.
So are we
going to... Which is mostly about cameos.
So, spoilers ahead.
Yes. From now, there'll be a time code in the description where spoilers begin and where they end.
Thank you, Graham, for being so considerate of audiences who care about that.
Yes.
Do we want to talk to the people about the Gambit cameo? Because I feel like a lot of people are not going to get why that happened.
Yeah, sure. I think it's interesting, and I think let's just talk about that cameo.
Okay.
Because there are others which were characters and movies that we remember or maybe remember. And so let's not give those ones away. But just one in particular which was interesting was a character we've never seen, played by a person we've never seen play it. Yeah.
Well, again, Gambit is in Wolverine Origins.
Origins,
yes,
X-Men
but played
Origins.
By a different actor.
Yeah.
Taylor Kitsch or whatever his name
is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we are in this beautiful, great scene with all these characters revealing themselves to him.
And you're kind of expecting that there's another cameo coming and then there's another one. You're like, who's it going to be?
Yeah.
And it was just so cool how they sort of came around the corner and presented themselves.
Yeah. And look, most of these have been leaked. If you've been like on the internet in any capacity, you probably know about like the vast majority of these cameos already.
But the big one of the ones that I thought was the most charming was Channing Tatum as Gambit.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So why was that a thing, Graham?
Well, much like Ryan Reynolds trying to get Deadpool made, Channing Tatum has been trying to get a Gambit movie made for like 20 years with him as Gambit.
Yes.
Okay. Who is Gambit?
He's another X-Men character. I don't even understand his powers.
So like the big thing with Gambit is he has playing cards the whole time.
Yes.
And then he chucks the playing cards but turns them into little projectile explosives.
Yeah, I think he like charges things and then they explode.
Yes.
Basically.
But then he does that through cards.
Yeah, he uses playing cards because he does like card tricks and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the power.
I can kind of see why.
I remember when I was 9, Gambit was the fucking shit, dude.
Yeah, Gambit is a big fan favorite.
Yeah.
Gambit. And he plays a big part in X-Men 97 as well.
Oh, does he?
Yes.
Fuck, man, I need to watch that.
Okay. I love Gambit.
And then what was kind of weird was the character that he then played seemed to have a different nationality accent every time he spoke.
Well, Gambit's Cajun.
Okay.
Yes, Gambit is like traditionally Cajun. He's from New Orleans. Okay. So that's where the accent comes from.
But the joke is Channing Tatum, whenever he shows up in a movie, is becoming like a comedic genius.
Yeah.
And he's a using very him more as, funny dude.
Dude, he is so fucking hilarious. And every time it's like, because it's a meta film.
Yes.
And maybe they're saying why it wouldn't be a good idea for Channing Tatum to be Gambit is that he can't get the Cajun accent right.
Yeah.
So it's like French and then it goes into Russian.
Yeah.
he sounded like sort of reggae Jamaican at one point. It's just very funny. And he's a very funny dude. He's probably one of the more underrated comedic actors.
Mm.
My name's Jeff.
My name's Jeff. Yeah.
No, it is funny. And it was cool. There's the spoiler.
Yeah,
that's the spoiler.
It's one of the, again, that's one of the few ones that hadn't leaked.
Exactly.
Yeah. That and Blade.
Yeah.
That's the one, that's the biggest one that I wasn't expecting. Because we knew that Blade was in it because he's in the trailer. You just see him in the background of a shot.
Oh, okay.
But people were theorizing that it was the guy. There was a short-lived Blade TV series or like a pilot or something that never like went anywhere. And people were like, oh, it's going to be the dude from that because no one thought Wesley Snipes would come back.
Yeah,
because
he very famously was a pain and difficult.
Yes.
And the sets of Blade sounded horrible.
Especially mostly the third one.
Yeah, where he wasn't
which
talking
had
to the
Ryan
director
Reynolds in it.
And everything.
There's a very famous shot where he's lying on a table with his eyes closed and he refused to open his eyes. He was just like, there's a top-down shot of him with his eyes closed and he had to open his eyes and he refused to open his eyes. So they had to do it like with CGI.
No way, is he serious?
Yeah, it just sounded so
and
silly.
And he would only talk to the director through like notes and stuff. Like he wouldn't actually speak to him. It was really petty.
What the fuck? This is hilarious. But this is the second time that Wesley Snipes has done a Blade cameo outside of the Blade films.
Is it?
In the What Do We Do in the Shadows series when they have the Council of Vampires and has Tilda Swinton as the lead vampire, the vampires from the series. And I can't remember what other cameos there, but then they had Wesley Snipes call in on the webcam.
Well, what I think happened is when he was making these Blade movies, he probably thought he was big shit and had this huge ego. And then shortly after was like, oh, I'm not going to be in many movies and be that famous and wealthy anymore.
And then didn't he get done for tax evasion or something?
Oh, wow. No. Didn't know that.
I think so. Something along those lines.
Oh, sorry to Wesley. But let's see if the other Blade movie ever sees the light of day, because that's getting
It's like The Flash in terms of it going through directors and writers. Yeah. And yeah,
It's got Mahershala Ali as Blade in the MCU.
And I think they announced it back in like 2017, 2018, and it's just nothing's
gone
happened.
Nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I've got another movie.
Cool. Yeah. End of spoilers.
End of spoilers.
You can start listening again.
Okay. There's a great film that we watched last night on Netflix.
Cool.
It is called Skywalkers, A Love Story. And what it is about, it is a documentary about two Russian, you could kind of call them athletes, but what it is it's this kind of new age form of art in a sense. It's somewhere between art, daredevil, and content creator,
right,
where people are called rooftoppers, where they illegally climb into buildings.
Yeah.
Often when they are still under construction, skyscrapers and certain things, and they get to the top to post these crazy pictures and videos. So it's part, that's what I'm saying. They consider themselves artists because this photo that they then take is this beautiful photo that you can't take any other way.
Right.
There's a level of counterculture sort of illegalness to it, sort of how a graffiti artist or a street artist is a criminal technically. But then there's this crazy, like, makes your legs tingle footage. Yeah. And what this documentary is, it's very much a one of a kind because these people are documenting themselves. Okay. So it's a lot of their own footage, and it's effectively this love story between these two Russians. You've got Angela, and she meets another guy who does the same thing called Vanya, and they're both these Russians that see each other through the internet.
Right.
They eventually meet up, they eventually fall in love, and they do these death-defying sort of acts of vandalism together. She comes from a history of being in the circus, being this performer, so she can do these elaborate, crazy things on these rooftops. But it's just very unique and different.
Okay.
And it kind of might be something that can't be repeated.
Oh, right.
Because so much of this footage was theirs, created in these moments.
Yes.
And it all centers around them trying to get to the top of this particular building, which is a building in Malaysia called the Madurka Building.
Okay.
And it plays out...
Madurka-durka.
Yeah, Madurka-durka. and it plays out a little bit like a heist film.
Right.
Where there's this GoPro footage of them like evading police. There's a point where they have to hide.
Right.
And they hide for like a fucking day.
Jesus. What?
Like 20 hours in this kind of hidden little place.
Yes.
You know, just to get to the top.
Wild.
But then of course they have to get out.
Mm.
And then they post about this crime. So they obviously can't go back into these countries ever again. Because they wanted criminals.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Bizarre.
And it's interesting that it gets kind of condoned. It gets put on the internet. Netflix, you know, buys the footage of this crime.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Interesting.
But yeah, it's called Skywalkers.
Okay.
A love story. It's very interesting. It's very unique. And I just think it's like, it's a movie of our time.
Yeah.
Where we are doing these kind of weird careers.
Mm.
Where these people are getting sponsors for these illegal acts.
Yeah, that's
They're creating this content that is one-upping each other, which is also scary.
Yeah.
And there are these points where, like, in this movie, she goes, like, you know, she catches up with an old person that she did work with before. She's like, how's the team? How's everyone? And she's like, they did. They died. Like,
what? Doing this?
Yeah. It's fucking crazy. People slip and fall. And these,
I mean,
and you don't hear about them because they dead.
Yeah,
nobody talks about that part of it, but it's very real that she dies. That she could die, and you could be doing this elaborate, beautiful drone shot that actually documents your death.
Yeah,
I've seen videos of these daredevil kids like doing crazy backflips and stuff on the sides of tall buildings, and then like grappling, and the whole thing is. Like you're watching this with sweaty palms. I've also seen on the sweaty palms subreddit.
And they're not gonna post the death.
Yeah.
No.
it's a little bit like gambling. You only hear, if you know someone who gambles a lot, you only hear about their winning.
Yeah.
They don't go like, hey, lost a fuck ton of money last night. They don't tell you that story. So you never hear about it. You only hear about all the winnings. Oh, I was up this much. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
But I just found it very interesting that like in 2024, you get this kind of weird career.
Yes.
You get this comprehensive footage, like incredible footage of a crime.
Yeah.
And it's condoned and celebrated and like number one or whatever around the world.
Yeah, we need to praise documentary filmmakers for the things that they give us access to.
Yeah.
Right?
No, and they just, they've spent their whole life making this film, this particular film. I don't think they could do it again. Maybe there'll be now a series of them doing other buildings, but this particular one could only happen once.
Jeez.
So, guys, is there anything else?
You had some stuff, I had some stuff. You want to go? I want to go.
I watched a film, finally, that I've been wanting to watch for a very long time called All of Us Strangers.
Okay. I've heard it is incredible.
So it's got Andrew Scott. Yeah. If you don't know who Andrew Scott is and you watched Fleabag, he's Sexy Priest. It's the character's name.
He's also in the Benedict Cumberbatch Sherlock, where he plays the main Moriarty, the main villain.
That's good casting. And then Paul Mescal. Mm-hmm. I suppose everyone will know him as the lead actor in the new Gladiator film.
Yeah, when that comes out, that'll be his thing.
And basically, it's about the screenwriter who's kind of procrastinating on his writing. There's this amazing image of this guy lying on his couch sideways eating Chinese, watching a movie. I was like, me.
Where is it?
London.
No, the movie. Where is the movie?
On the Seven Seas.
No. No, it's come to something. It's on, I want to say Disney Plus. It's either Disney Plus or Netflix.
I think it's Disney Plus because it's on Hulu here.
No, I've definitely seen it available now.
Okay,
we'll have that. We'll have the location, the legitimate location of it in the event description.
But basically, Andrew Scott is this procrastinating, like struggling screenwriter who lives in what's basically an empty tower block in London.
Right.
And there's a fire alarm and he leaves the fire alarm for the safety evacuation and sees that there's a room with a guy who's looking down at him from his room. Okay. And it's like kind of this weird chance encounter. He goes back up to his room and then the door knocks and this guy shows up, Paul Mescal, who's drunk and talking to him, being like, hey man, and just telling him this whole sob story. And he's like, hey, do you want me to come inside? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Mm. And Andrew Scott's like, it's so well written. It's so well written because you're sitting there going, he's cute, he's propositioning you for sex, but he's drunk. You don't want to take advantage of a drunk person. Conflict, blah, 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 slams the door in his face. He's like, no.
Right.
But eventually their relationship, they see each other in the elevator, they start to talk and they start to connect. Then this is interstitched, terrible word, with Andrew Scott's. I can't remember why he was walking around in the first place, but he's walking around the field and he sees a guy in the distance.
Okay.
Look at him in the forest, in the line of trees, and then turn away and start walking. So Andrew follows him.
Right.
And you're like, are they cruising? Do you guys know what cruising is?
It's a gay term?
Yeah, it's a gay term.
I think we can read between the lines.
Cool. I have to tell you the hilarious story about a friend who's really good at making brands, like throwaway brands. It's like this weird exercise that he had. He made one called Not Another Zebra, which was like an events blog.
Okay.
Like you'll see the stickers everywhere. It was a really fucking good brand. But he
pitched. I remember that.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So Tyron Kelly, like he's got a gift for it, right? And he's always creating these little throwaway brands. And he said to our gay friend Levi, he's like, so I've got another brand, dude. What do you think of this? He shows him and it says Dudes That Cruise. And Levi's like, what is this for? He says, no, it's for guys that do mountain biking and like.
Yeah. Right.
And Levi's like, no, dude, that's not what it is. It's like sex in parking lots, dude.
I was about to say, cruising is what George Michael was found for doing in the park once.
Yes.
And it got him in a lot of trouble.
Exactly. So he's following this guy. He follows him to a shop. The guy comes out and it's Jamie Bell. And then Jamie Bell says to him, as if he knows him, he's like, so you're coming home? And he goes, yeah. And then he follows him home and he goes back to his childhood home. The guy he was following was his dad.
Right.
Okay, but his parents died when he was 12 years old in a car crash. And now he's in his parents' home, seeing them at his current age, but seeing them at the age they were then when they died.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, so sorry. It seemed to be a normal conflicting sort of queer film, but now it's a time travel movie.
No, is it a time travel movie? Are they ghosts? That question is never answered.
Okay. Could this whole thing be a dream?
Could it be a dream? You don't know.
Okay, so the movie doesn't even...
The movie does not ever acknowledge that, which is really fucking cool. Because you're sitting there going, how does this work? What is happening?
Yes.
And they're talking to him, getting to know him as an adult.
Right. Does he have sex with his dad?
No.
Okay.
That was the weird thing. Is you sat there going like they were cruising, but then they just started talking and then hugging each other, and then the conversations break into going, so you're gay. And then that whole thing happens. Yes. Mom is Claire Foy.
Did you project the fact that they were cruising?
No.
Okay.
100%.
Okay.
I watched it with two other homosexuals, and they like, and all of us were like, "Ooh, get it." And they were like, "Oh, it's his dad. Oh, it's his dad. Oh no, don't get it, dude. Oh, that's geez. Weird." Okay. It was 100% intentional. Right. Don't know why. I'm still breaking that down in my mind, which is why this movie makes you think about it afterwards.
Okay.
But essentially, what's happening is as he gets to know this other guy who's got his own problems, you have
this is the other guy in the building.
Yeah, the other guy in the building. Sorry. Yeah. You have this intercutting narrative that is basically contextualizing our experiences in getting intimate with other people as being based on and driven by our experiences with our parents.
Okay.
Like, that's what it's doing. How we were raised, the values we were given, the confidence we were given, our self-narrative.
Yes.
How that feeds into our dating, basically.
Yeah.
That's like what the film is doing.
Sounds smart.
It's
nuanced.
I was like, this feels like an anime. Like, as soon as it went, it's not a gay movie anymore. It's not just a gay movie. It's a time travel. I don't know. I was like, it felt like Japanese high concept Chris Nolan for gays. And then I found out it's based on a book of a Japanese author. I was like, ah, he's Japanese. That's it. It's a very anime story. Like,
what do you think that is? What do you mean when you? Yeah, I know what you're saying, but. Maybe elaborate on
it's
what,
high what, concept. It's like
what could a Japanese story be? Something that takes you down this weird path that doesn't explain itself.
It's kind of like a story that's never as straightforward as it seems. Basically, it's like it's got to do with some kind of. It'll never just be a drama in Your Name, right?
Yes.
That anime that you and I watched. It's about two teenagers that are switching bodies across time zones.
Yeah,
and you look at. Like a really famous anime where, I don't know, like characters are time traveling and then they have to recreate the timeline, and it's always got a high concept element to it.
I just love the fact that it's not explaining itself.
Right.
Yes.
And I think that's perhaps the difference.
Mm.
I remember reading Murakami, the author, the Japanese author. And just,
the famous one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And just like cats just start talking to the main character. It's never explained. It's not sort of understood why. It's just all of a sudden the cats just speak. Oh. And it's like, oh, a talking cat.
Yeah, it's kind of got this fairy tale quality to it.
He has the ability to hear cats.
Well, there you go.
And you're like, sweet. Yeah.
Okay, lovely. No, okay. All of Us Strangers, available somewhere legitimate.
It's on Apple.
It is on
it's Apple TV. You can Apple buy TV. / rent it on Apple TV.
It's available for streaming. I've seen it somewhere. But
okay.
Yeah, you can always... There's a good chance that Apple TV in the buying is possible for some of these more obscure movies, but I've seen it to stream.
Okay,
but we'll find it. But Lekker, guys, thank you for a Lekker chat.
Mm-hmm.
Are we already done?
Yeah, we've had a fat chat today.
Ah man, we have to close up shop.
Yeah, it was a nice day.
Let's go back to our real jobs. Yeah. Anyways, watch The Boyfriend on Netflix. That's the only thing I'll say.
Hey, yeah,
watch it.
Okay, that's a TV show.
It's a gay Japanese dating show.
Interesting.
It's a dating show.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like
it's
reality
like Big
TV.
Brother with a whole bunch of gays in the house falling in love.
And it's Japanese.
And it's tender, and it's cute, and it's beautiful. It's like, oh.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
It's my pitch. That's my elevator pitch.
There you go.
Take it.
I love how we're all slowly taking on a certain kind of content that we each bring to the table.
Yeah.
Mine is usually like... happy, heartwarming,
yes.
Good stuff. And Cole's is usually like, just a touch of that.
You know? Just a touch of that.
Okay, magic. Thank you, guys.
Mm,
Thanks for a Lekker chat.
Cool.
All right. The home base is thevideostore.co.za. Please chime in if there's a movie or a series we haven't spoken about, or if you've got thoughts or opinions. Also, if you guys have a did you guys see, please also chime in and let us know what we... maybe did see or didn't see. That can be on our Facebook group or it could be on the Instagram post. So yeah, go wild. As well as you can also return a film. The instructions for that are in the description of the episode. Magic, thank you guys.
Cool.
Thanks for a lucky day.
Yeah.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.